Please and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 11, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Luke chapter number 11, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 1. The Bible says, "It came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray." And I want to preach on that thought tonight. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for loving us, and we thank you for the privilege of prayer. And I ask you to help me tonight to say the right things. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to take thy word and allow it to change our lives. Make us more like you. Lord, make us the Christian we ought to be. Lord, may it affect us in such a way, Lord, that we'll see the power in prayer and the promises and all that you have for us. Help us not to take lightly what you've given to us in prayer. But Lord, help us to take heed of this privilege and to do with this privilege, Lord, a work for you. And we'll thank you for what you do. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. One of the most precious privileges we have in our Christian lives is prayer. There's no doubt about that. We find the disciples asking our Lord here to teach us to pray. And Christ was already teaching them. As you look and you read all that's going on around them, he was teaching them certain things and giving them parables and helping them to understand many different things. But he was teaching them these things. But he, being our example, is teaching us also about prayer. God's preserved in his word this passage of Scripture. God wants us to be a praying people. He wants us, this morning I talked about our church being a praying church, and there's no doubt we need that. And we need to have special times where we gather together. We call prayer meetings, if you will. We have a called prayer meeting every Sunday night at 5:40. And I know there's different times the men get together and they pray before our services. But a church-wide prayer meeting is called on Sunday nights at 5:40. And that's wonderful that we do that. But we need to look at our lives individually. Because if all we have is this 5:40 prayer time in our lives, we're hurting. As a matter of fact, that prayer time is not going to mean a whole lot to us. And it's not going to move us. It's not going to help us the way that it should. So we need to look at our lives as individuals. One of the greatest needs in the lives of individuals and of the church is this need of prayer. And we need to be a people of prayer. And we need to learn how to pray, to learn what the Bible teaches us about praying. And so the way we do that is we listen to Christ. The Lord Jesus is teaching us. He tells us everything we need to know about prayer. And I want you to look tonight at his example. And I, you know, if we want to find out how to do things right, just look to the Lord. The Lord always knows, and the Lord's always right. But I want you to see, first of all, that he had a certain place. A certain place. Notice what the Bible says there in verse number 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying, where? In a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we should have a certain time to pray by all means. You know, if you don't make time to pray, I'm not talking about just the praying without ceasing and men ought always to pray. I'm talking about a time where we get with God and we talk to God, and we ought to have a certain time. It may be, you may have a different time every day, but every day there ought to be a time of prayer where you talk to the Lord. And you need to understand that it's very important, because if we don't set aside a certain time, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to go through life. We're going to go through our day. We're going to get to the time where it's time to go to bed. And you know what we'll do? We'll say, well, I'll just pray now. And I know it's a wonderful thing to go to sleep praying. And I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, I just go to sleep. That's wonderful. But I want to tell you what we need to do. We need to have a time to pray when we're not so sleepy and when we're not so tired, where we can talk to the Lord. And it's good to have a certain time to pray. But I believe that we need to find a certain place to pray. Just for me and the Lord, you know? You can't get down on your knees. Now, when you're having your family devotions, that's one thing. But when it's just you and God, you can't get down on your knees in your living room with the television on, with the kids running around, with everything else happening. You need to go to a certain place and have a place of prayer. It could be that you have a chair in your bedroom or a chair somewhere, but a place where you can set aside and just say, I'm going to talk to the Lord. And by the way, this certain place may not mean a whole lot to you until you go through one of those difficult times in life when you don't know what to do and you don't know how you're going to make it, and you go to that place and it's there that God meets you and God lifts you up and he puts his arms around you and he says, here I am, child. It's a great place. We ought to have a certain place, a place set aside. Apparently the Lord Jesus had a certain place that he prayed. Because the Bible says he was in a certain place. It could be a certain chair, a certain room, or it don't have to be a chair, it could be anything. And I know this sounds kind of awkward, but some people use their bathroom in their house because it's a great place to be away from everything. Some people have a chair in their bedroom because it's a good place. You can go and you can shut the door behind you. But you need to have a place to pray. The earliest African converts were very earnest. They were very regular in their private devotions. And the story says that each one had a special place in the thickets, and paths became distinctively marked as they would go daily to their place to pray. And they would go through these thickets, and as they would go through the thickets, it would wear down a path. In this place, as they would go to their certain place, they had a place. Each individual had a place where they would play, where they would go and pray. When one began to decline in their devotional life, it became very apparent, and others would kindly remind him by saying, brother, the grass is growing on your path yonder. I want you to know tonight, there's a lot of grass growing in the paths of Christians. Because we used to go to God in prayer and we used to talk to the Lord. And I've known people that used to spend hours in prayer and talking to God. And it just seems like life's too busy. We need to have a place. You say, why do you need to have a place? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because every time you go by that place, you'll remember that's where I talk to God. And you'll be reminded, I need to go there today. I personally think the best place is the bedroom. Because you're there. That's one place you're going to go every day. It could be a chair, and you could say, I got to meet the Lord there today. I'm going to talk a certain time, but you need a certain place. We need to get this in our minds, in our hearts, and in our lives. A place where we talk to God, a place where we commune with God, a place where we trust the Lord. A place without noise, without disturbances, without distractions. A place where God communes with us and we commune with God. I believe we ought to have a certain place. But not only do we need to have a certain place, we need to have a certain prayer. I'm convinced sometimes our prayers are foolish prayers. You know, the Bible says when we ask in His name, and we've talked about this, When we pray in His name, we're praying in His will. And that's important to know. There was a little boy that was fervently praying. And the pastor noticed and he listened. He was listening to what the little boy was praying. And the boy was saying, "Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo." He just kept saying it over and over and over again. "Tokyo, Tokyo, Tokyo." The pastor asked him, said, "Son, why are you saying Tokyo over and over and over again?" The little boy said, "I took a geography test today and I've been praying that the Lord would make Tokyo the capital of France." Sometimes their prayers just aren't going to work, are they? We see a certain place, but we need to have a certain prayer. We need to pray in the will of God. We need to pray a rightful prayer. There's no doubt about that. Let's look together at this prayer. The Bible said that gives us, and I'm going to talk to you about this here in just a moment, and we're going to look at some things. The Bible says in verse number 2, "And He said unto them, when you pray, say, 'Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" Now, they just asked the Lord, "Teach us to pray." And the Lord says these things to them. Now, this is not a prayer that's given to us to be repeated in vain repetition, but it's an example of the kind of prayer we're to pray. We're to pray to the Lord, but there are certain things that ought to be a part of our prayers as we have our prayer life. And I want us to see this. First of all, when we pray, we need to recognize the holiness of God. The holiness of God. Amen. The Bible says, when you pray, say. Now, we don't have to every time say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." But we do need to approach Him, understanding that He is holy God. We need to understand as we enter into Him, we should know that we're entering to the presence of a holy God. And we're not talking to some man upstairs or some dude or just one of the guys. We're talking to God. I hear people pray sometimes and I wonder what it is they're praying to or who it is they're praying to and why they're even saying what it is they're saying. You know, they enter into prayer like it's some kind of just of an activity that's just words being said. But when we talk to God, when we bow our knees, we bow our head, we bow our eyes, and we call upon God, we're not talking to some normal fella that's just there, that's just, you know, just exists. We're talking about the Creator God, the mighty God, the glorious God, the God that robed Himself in flesh, came into this world, took upon Himself the form of a servant, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day, ascended back up into the heaven, God the Son seated at the right hand of God the Father, and the Bible teaches us that we're praying to that God. We're not just talking to some man upstairs. As a matter of fact, I absolutely think it is blasphemous to call Him the man upstairs. We knock on a lot of doors, and when you knock on doors, you get that a lot. "Oh yeah, me and the man upstairs talk all the time." And I begin to think you have a low view of God. That's not the God I talk to. I talk to the Lord, my Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed, holy is thy name. We need to, as we pray, we need to understand. The Bible says when you pray, say. We need to pray understanding the holiness of God. We need to recognize the holiness of God. Secondly, we need to be seeking the will of God. Seeking the will of God. The Bible says, "And He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." The Lord Jesus Himself even said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Isn't that wonderful? When we think about this, we realize as we pray, we're seeking the will of God. And as we seek the will of God, it'll help us to pray in the will of God. You notice this is the first thing that we look to and the first thing that we look for. Because if we look for thy will to be done, talking about God the Father's will to be done, then us praying for all those frivolous things won't take place. Right? See, that makes such a difference when we pray rightfully. We look, It's not wrong to ask God to bless our family, to bless our business. It's not wrong to ask God for financial needs. That's not wrong, you know? But sometimes we pray because we want instead of seeking God's will. We need to understand that prayer is something that God has given to us to take care of us, to help us to make it through life. And we have the precious privilege of prayer. The Lord Jesus in the garden said, "Not my will, but thy will." Think about it. So many times we get to praying about our will and not the Lord's will. And I think that when that's the case, that's the prayers that the Lord's not really hearing and answering. There's lots of things I want, you know, but there's not lots of things that I need. God's been good to me. He's given me not only my needs, but He's given me my wants. When I say there's not lots of things I need, it's because He's provided them for me. Use different people, different things, different circumstances. But God always seems to take care of me. But every now and then He gives me my wants. And there's times that I've went to Him and I've talked to Him. And when you enter into His presence and you begin to realize it's not about so much what we want, it's about His will, it changes your whole prayer life. You ever been talking to the Lord and you go in to prayer thinking, "I'm going to ask the Lord for this." And I've entered into prayer and I've been praying. And I honestly, when I pray in my personal life, I try to approach God as holy God. I try to picture the Lord, not being able to see Him physically, but I try to picture Him sitting on His throne, full of compassion, full of love and full of power, but yet full of terror and full of judgment. I try to realize that as I enter into His throne, it's not some just little place that I'm entering into, but I'm entering into the presence of a thrice holy. I try to picture that in my mind. Boy, when I begin to see Him for who He is, it changes my prayer. I begin to realize it's not about me. God's taking care of me. I look around me and I see all that I have and I realize God's provided every need I've ever had. And the times He didn't provide those needs was because He needed to teach me something. Maybe I wasn't living as close to Him or walking as close to Him. And He says, "I'm going to hold my hand. I'm going to stay my hand until you get something right with me." You know, that's how the Lord works. He's merciful in that way. He's not going to let us get too far away from Him because we're His children. I love the Lord tonight. I love the Lord. That was good, wasn't it, this morning? I love the Lord because He hears my voice. And every time I think about that verse, I'm telling you, I don't think I'll ever be the same. I saw it in a whole different light. And I was studying for that. I love the Lord. I love how that verse, I love how that song starts. I love the Lord. Well, I'm having a good time. I love the Lord. We need to be seeking the will of God. The third thing, as we pray and we recognize the holiness of God and we're seeking the will of God. And then thirdly, we're going to trust God for our needs. The Bible says in verse number 3, "Give us day by day our daily bread." See, now we've sought the will of God. Now we begin to ask God for what we need. And see, as we seek the will of God, we see more of what we need. And then we pray and say, "Lord, will You provide these needs for us?" And as Paul said to the church at Philippi, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, we look at that and we think, that's wonderful. God's going to take care of everything I need. But you study that out and you're going to find out the reason that God was going to provide the needs of the church at Philippi was because they was obedient in their giving. They was obedient in their life. Paul was writing and he was saying to them, "Because you were so faithful to the ministry and to what God has called me to do, and you've helped to meet my needs. You've even sent to me when I didn't have certain needs just because you love me and because you've honored the servant of God. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." And the only reason Paul said that I receive these things that you give me is so that God may place some things on your account. "And my God shall supply all your need." That's a wonderful thing. We need to be seeking the will of God, certainly. But then we need to trust God for our needs. But then it goes on. It should be a prayer of repentance. A prayer of repentance. It says, the Bible says in verse number 4, and forgive us our sins. We've already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, because the Bible teaches us if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord won't hear us. So when we pray, this prayer of repentance is just simply we're realizing that we're a sinner and we turn to God and realize that He's the only one that can forgive us of our sins. And we pray and we ask Him to forgive us. A prayer of repentance, a prayer of forgiveness. Then the fifth thing we see is a prayer of mercy. The Bible says, and forgive us our sins in verse number 4, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. I like that. It's a prayer of mercy. In one of the other examples, it was written in a different way. Forgive us as we forgive those indebted to us. You know what it means? Lord, forgive us the way we forgive others. That gets down to where the rubber meets the road. You know, if you harbor feelings, if there's something that you have against somebody and you don't forgive them, then that's the way we expect the Lord to forgive us. Forgive us, for we have forgiven those that are indebted to us. Forgive us the same way that we forgive others. It's an amazing thing. This is a prayer of mercy. So when we go to the Lord in prayer, we recognize the holiness of God, we seek the will of God, we trust God to provide our needs, we have a prayer of forgiveness or of repentance, and then we have a prayer, it's a prayer of mercy. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, and be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. One of the greatest freedoms you'll have in your life is when you learn to forgive others. It's a great freedom. If you learn to forgive others, look, there's going to be people that's going to turn their back on you all your life. Forgive them. Forgive them. The same way that God hath forgiven us. We have to learn to forgive. This is a prayer of mercy. I believe when we have ought in our heart, when we come to that part where we're praying and we remember that we have ought, the Bible even teaches us that we're to go to that person, to get up from our altar, and to go to that person and be sure we got everything right. That's tough to do. There's pride involved here. And with this pride, pride separates us from God, doesn't it? It goes before destruction. It destroys your life. You have to learn to forgive others. This is a prayer of mercy. But not only is it a prayer of mercy, I want you to see it's also a prayer for leadership. The Bible goes on and says, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. We're seeking God to lead us in our lives. In other words, keep us from temptation. Because the next part is not only a prayer for leadership, number 7, it's a prayer of deliverance. But deliver us from evil. In other words, Lord, if we're not guided by you, then the temptation is going to overcome us and we are going to step into evil in our lives. You see the importance of prayer? These disciples were hearing the Lord Jesus pray, and they were in awe as they listened to Him talk to God. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. See, the Lord Jesus had a prayer life. He was God. But He realized the need of prayer. You know why He realized the need of prayer? Because He was our example. It wasn't because He had to pray for forgiveness. It wasn't because He had to pray for leadership. Look, He was perfect. But He had to show us that men ought always to pray, because He was robed in flesh. Christ, God, became man. And He had to show us exactly how man ought to live. And in doing that, these disciples heard, and they said, we need to learn to pray.
or teach us to pray. And the Lord Jesus said, when you pray, say. Pray after this manner, it says one place. Pray like this. See the holiness of God. Seek the will of God. Trust the Lord for your needs. Seek the Lord for forgiveness and realize that while you need mercy, you need to be merciful. Pray for leadership and for deliverance. It's a certain prayer. The Lord Jesus gave us an example of a certain place and a certain prayer, but then I want you to see, thirdly, a certain promise. Verse 5 through 10 teaches us much. Much is said here about the importunity. Verse number 8, which is fine. But here's the thing that we need to see. In verse number 6, the Bible says, a friend of mine in his journey has come to me and I have nothing. The reason this man was gone and the reason the Lord Jesus gave us this parable was the fact that he wanted us to realize without our Father, we have nothing. When we were empty of self, there's a God in heaven that has everything we need. Isn't that wonderful? And while much is made of the importunity of him keeping going, saying, somebody's come and I need some help. I need some food. Will you help me? No, I'm in bed. Me and the children, we're in bed. It's asleep. Just go away. I really need this. Somebody's come to me in the night and I don't know what to do. And I have nothing. But he just kept knocking. And the man gave. Not because he was a brother, but because of his importunity. Now much is made about this. But the promise is given to us here in verse 9 and 10, and I want us to look at this. He's saying, and I say unto you, we have the example of this man that kept knocking, that kept seeking the Lord, that kept seeking this help from this friend, said, lend me three loaves, he said. He kept knocking, he kept asking. He wouldn't rise and give to him because of his friend, but because of his importunity. He'll rise and give him as many as he needeth. But then look at the promise. The Lord Jesus said, like this man went knocking on this door. Ask, he says, and you shall ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. A certain promise. I love this. It says, ask. That's a continuous sense. You know what it means? Keep on asking. That's what that means. We're to keep on asking. Look, we need to learn about prayer. John R. Ice wrote one of the greatest books on prayer that's ever been written. Prayer is asking and receiving. That's what prayer is. It's a great book to read. It's a wonderful book to study and to get your prayer life right. And then it says, seek and ye shall find. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. We need to learn to seek the Lord. And then it says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. But I love verse 10. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. All these things represent perseverance and frequent prayer. That's why we need to have a time set aside and a place set aside. We need to understand that God has given us prayer on purpose. Why would he allow us to pray if he didn't want us to use prayer in our lives? You know, sometimes we enter into prayer like we're in a road race. Don't we? Well, I got to pray today, so Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us, and I thank you for the day you've given to me, and God bless us, and God bless Mama, and God bless Daddy, and God bless everyone. Have a good day. Amen. I mean, you know, it's like, ba 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 ba. That's not entering into the presence of God.
That's just throwing out words. Talk to God. Look, if some important dignitary came walking into this church, I would go, and I wouldn't run up to him and say, well, I'm so glad you're here, and it's good to have you, and I hope you'll have a seat right over here, and blah, 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 blah. You know what I do? Just like I do you. I go and I say, I'm glad you're here, and I would talk with him and have a conversation. Right? Sometimes we talk to God like he's, I don't know. We need to learn to talk to the Lord again. These disciples heard Jesus, the Son, talking to the Father, and they said, teach us to pray. Because they knew there was power in prayer. And he said, when you pray, say, after this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts. We forgive those that are indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. We see, we have to understand, God has given us this. And there's a certain promise to prayer. When we pray right, we pray seeking the will of God, pray in the will of God, the Bible says, him that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. This is what God says is ours. We come together as a church and have prayer meeting. That's wonderful. But I want you to know, this is for you as an individual to pray. We need the Lord. We need his help. We need his strength. This is a call to prayer. It's a great example. The Bible says, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I believe that this was just a starting point for the disciples. This was the Lord teaching them, this is what you need to do to pray. This is a starting point for us. If you'll start praying like this, enter into the presence of God, recognizing His holiness, and then you start realizing the different things as you go down through and you think in your mind, you're praying for the will of God, you're praying for the needs, you're praying for forgiveness, you're praying for mercy, to help you to have mercy, you're praying for leadership, you're praying for deliverance, and then from that, we'll go from a 2 or 3 minute prayer. If you start praying every day, you're going to see your prayer life go from 2 or 3 minutes to 9 or 10 minutes to 15 or 20 minutes. Because as you start praying for others, as you start praying for who God is, sometimes you're going to just get into that part where you start recognizing God and His holiness, and you're going to start calling out the names of God, and you're going to start talking about who God is, and all of a sudden you realize you've spent time just recognizing God. And then you start seeing, you start praying as you're seeking the will of God. You start praying, oh Lord, help me to see this. Help me to understand. Lord, what is this? What is it you would have for me to do here? Why is this? What's going on in my life? What's your will in this matter? And then you start saying, well, I have this need, Lord. And then you're going to start naming those needs. And then you start praying for others. And before you know it, you're spending 45 minutes in prayer. And all of a sudden, you have this prayer life that some people would say, they're out of control. But God would say, no, they're finally getting in control. Something's happening in their life. And it's thrilling to see the starting point. We must be a people of prayer. Public prayer, dear friends, I believe should be just that. Public prayer. You know, we don't need to pray for everything. We just need to pray for what's at hand. But private prayer is what's needed. And by the way, when we're praying right in public, in private, when you're called upon to pray in public, you can tell. You can tell. There's such a difference when you hear somebody that's praying, that's walking with the Lord. Lord, teach us to pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for who you are and for what you've done, and we thank you for the example given to us tonight. As we think about this life of prayer,